Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. There's Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I'm in Philadelphia, ready for the start of the second half. The Padres have a four-game series, 3 days, doubleheader. What a mess this series is going to be. But I feel like, Ryan, I feel like the Padres need to start over, but they also need to keep going like from where they ended at the start or the end of the first half. So where do you want to start?
Yeah, typical of this season, you know, the Padres finally get a little bit of momentum going, take two or three from the Mets, sweep the Angels, and then they give everybody, 5 days off? and now they're back. I mean, to me, I think we start with a quick look back. Kevin, it seemed like everything was kind of coming together. You take 5 or 6 games from two pretty good teams. What were they doing the last two series that may be a sign of improvement going forward?
Well, Manny Machado, cover your ears, but hitting with runners in scoring position, like at a 350 plus clip over whatever it is the past couple weeks. And you know, now they're only 4 points from overtaking the Oakland A's for 29th in the 30 team major leagues, in runners in scoring position. Like everything was better. That's because they were hitting better in all situations. But look, were they playing with more urgency? They said they were. Again, hold your ears, Manny Machado. He doesn't like talking about those things. Yeah, they scored enough to overcome a bullpen that has allowed at least one run in 14 straight games, multiple runs in 10 of those. They just played better. They Manny Machado looked like he was on one of those tears that he goes on once or twice a season. So, that explains a lot. There we go.
Right. He hit, 3 home runs in 2 days?
It was something like that. Yeah. He's got 8 RBIs in the last 4 games it's 13 of the Padres' 39 runs in July. It's what we would have expected sooner. Not like this. Well, yeah, this for at least stretches. This is what he does. This is why you make that money. I always feel bad talking about money. Like they make what they make. You and I make what we make. That's kind of what society's willing to pay us. I got no problem with it. It makes it sound like I'm harping on the money. But when you make a certain amount, then that is what it's about to a certain extent. You are the guy that is supposed to carry the team at times. Same for Xander Bogaerts. Should be the same for Juan Soto. Fernando Tatis maybe isn't making that money, but that is the kind of contract he got. You only asked about looking back, but that is whatever we want to break down about what needs to be better in the second half. It is the big four.
Right. Right. Well, and that's where we're heading right now. Kevin, this is a team that has to continue hot. And, you're not playing the Pirates and the Reds here to start the second half of the season. You've got 4 against the Phillies, 3 against Toronto. These are 2 pretty big series, I think, as we try to determine whether this is a playoff contending team the way it stands now. What do you think they need to do well? Is it just the big four need to play? Is it something else? And how huge are these 7 games?
If the big four play like they're supposed to. Look, I'll say if the whole 9 play like they're supposed to, right? Sure. But really, I could talk about can Ha-Sung Kim play much better? Probably not. Trent Grisham has come back to be pretty close to probably what you can expect. Jake Cronenworth needs to produce more, at least needs to produce as he has in the past in big moments, right? Needs to bring his numbers up. But yeah, look, if those guys contribute, and I dove deep into all of the numbers. If they contribute at a level that they should be expected to, not unreasonably, just close to that level, then it should be about the Padres every night, provided the pitching, which, by the way, lead the National League in quality starts, except for recently, the bullpen was absolutely fantastic. Except for recently, they were across the board the best bullpen in the major leagues for much of the season.
Sure.
In terms of ERA and a couple other metrics. But if the big four does what they do, look, I'll take you deep inside one of the stats I have. It's not just that, Ha-Sung Kim is the only player on the team to have an OPS higher than his career average coming into this season. It's not just that run eaters in scoring position and that the big four is whatever, their OPS, their average, all that is down. In Padres losses in which one member of the Big Four, at least one member, usually more, came up with as the tying or go-ahead run or with the tying or go-ahead run on base. So what I'm saying is in a game that they could easily have affected with a home run, oftentimes just with a single, okay, in one of the final four innings. And a lot of times these guys had six or seven at-bats between them that had a chance to do this. Mm-hmm. In those losses, and there were 29 of them, which that happened at least once in the final four innings, they hit 169 collectively.
Wow.
Put me at 200, yeah, and you got four more wins.
Right? Yeah, like, right. Right. If so, they were just bad instead of terrible, they'd have four more wins.
So that's the one that, like, that's why I keep the stats I keep, right? Like, I spend hours a day doing my stats so that when I'm like, gosh, it seems like these guys have had a chance. They're not coming up in, like, you know, down 7-1. And let me tell you, the number of times three of them went down in order with a guy on second, it was like four or five times. Wow. Like, it was like, it's crazy. But guess what? In defense of AJ Preller, that's the team he beat. And those are the situations he envisioned. He envisioned, like, hey, so I have a center fielder who's going to save a lot of runs and maybe hit 204, right? Like, I have a first baseman who, you know what? They didn't know he's going to be like this, Jake Cronenworth, his first year as the first baseman. But, like, you know, might be middle of the pack in terms of offensively as a first baseman. Ha-Sung Kim, this was the ceiling for him. But you know what? There's going to be so many times when these guys that we've built this team around have come up with the game on the line and they're going to come through for us because that's what they do. And they haven't.
Right, right. Kevin, Padres play 90 games. They're 43-47. We've talked about what it will take in terms of performance. What will it take in terms of wins for them to be in it on the final day of the season?
So what I worked out the other day that, I mean, I'm going off 87, which is what the Phillies won last year. The Rays won 86 and made it in the American League, the first year of having six playoff teams in each league. So let's just say it's 87, right? They need to then obviously win 44 more games. And so what is that? 44-28. Mm-hmm. And there are hundreds of teams. It's like an average of since the start of 1961, the 162 game schedule, I believe, for the American League, and then the National League followed the next year. Hundreds of teams, an average of like three or four a year, right, have won at least 44 of their final 72 games.
Okay.
But only a dozen of those had a record as bad as the Padres at this time. So one every 5 years. One every 4 years has done it. So, like, the turnaround is my point that is going to be required here for these guys to go 16 over. Is that 44-28? Mm-hmm. Now, that should not be out of the question. The team that has played here, look, I'll even say, like, the team that has played a good portion since June 1st, right? Mm-hmm. That team, you should have no question, can go 16 over the final 72 games. Mm-hmm. That's not all we're talking about, though. And we're now talking about the bullpen's going to get back Robert Suarez pretty soon, presumably. Steven Wilson pretty soon, presumably. Probably Wilson before Suarez. Might get back Michael Wacha, might not. But let's say that, like, it takes a while for Suarez to get going, right? Let's say bullpens are up and down. Let's say somebody else starts to stink or continues to stink. Let's say Wacha doesn't come back. So now we're talking about a team that, you know, they wasted some chances when they had a full roster and now is going to try to do it barring trade with, you know, the potential for there to be some guys that are down.
Right. Now, you just said the word trade. The next sort of big milestone in this season is the trade deadline. As it stands today, are they buyers or are they sellers in your mind? What would have to happen between now and then for that to change?
You know, it would be real easy if they could go 8-2 on this trip, right? Mm-hmm. And then, or 2-8, you know, mm-hmm. I'm inclined to believe, based on what you hear, that they are buyers. okay. and that they're buyers almost like no matter what, because it's far more likely that they're just middling, right? Like they go 6-4 or 4-6 or 5-5 on this trip, come home, face the Pirates, you know, that between now and August 1st, they are a little over 500 or a little below or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so now what did other teams do, right? Like mm-hmm. the standings are going to change a lot. They are. We talked about it, I think, when they won those first two games against the Angels, they gained two games in the standings. Mm-hmm. Now, they've won three or four since and have stayed right where they are, except this. After losing to the Mets on Friday, I think they dropped down to where, like, there were five teams between them and the final playoff spot, and now there's only two. One of them is mm-hmm. the Phillies, by the way. Yeah, there's the Brewers. But the standings are going to change a lot. Well, how much can they change in between now and August 1st, and what will it mean to the Padres? I'm just inclined to think, given that it's Peter Seidler and AJ Preller, that and also the things that they have both said, that other people in the organization have said, and that, like, but Bob Nightingale reported today that other general managers were maybe expecting the Padres to be aggressive. I think that's a pretty easy thing to say and to expect.
If you've got to win 60-something% of your games, Kevin, every game matters. Is it possible that they make that trade deadline move before the trade deadline? I mean, it seems to me you could get a lot. I mean, maybe asking prices go down the closer you get to the trade deadline. But is this something maybe we shouldn't just think about as a trade deadline situation, but as a move that could pop at some point between now and then?
Absolutely. And yeah. I think that trade prices go down only in the sense that a team might be holding out for more now. But what I have learned is that, and I don't know if this changed in the last couple years, or last few years, teams set a price and that's their price generally. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about an impact player, right? Now, but as you get closer, then yeah, maybe there is a little bit of something else that could budge an impact player from a team. But, you know, right now it might take a lot to get that sort of player, but a bullpen piece, big, a starter, big. I'm not saying a starter for Saturday's second game of the doubleheader after Blake Snell pitches, but that's a hole right now, right? Like, and so what you have is you're coming off a rest. That's great. And maybe Darvish goes 6 and maybe Snell goes 6. And so then, okay, a bullpen game, or, you know, you get 4 from Waldron or something like that. And Morahone piggybacks on him. I'm going best case scenario here, right? And then you got Lugo on Sunday and you get another day off. That's great. What if it doesn't go that way? And that's kind of where you're at right now. You come right back into the first 4 games in 3 days. And it's like, and we don't have a starter for Saturday's second game. Okay. And that what that does is points out, well, what if Waka doesn't come back? I believe he's eligible. He could be activated for the second game in Toronto. Joe Musgrove is, they want to give him a longer rest, face Toronto as well. So he's going to pitch on Tuesday in Toronto. It could happen at any time. I think the other thing we should mention is the potential for a designated hitter. I think that's a pretty good one because Nelson Cruz is already gone. And right now your platoon is Matt Carpenter / Rougned Odor and Brandon Dixon. And they've always thought that maybe a corner outfield / designated hitter / first baseman, whatever, mm-hmm. but primarily designated hitter is a place that they can really upgrade.
The idea here would be to trade prospects and not necessarily trade off the big league club.
Well, the problem here is that teams that are looking for prospects that have that impact player want prospects. Okay. The idea of trading big leaguers like back for big leaguers is like, tell me the number of trades that have been done at the trade deadline recently for that. Mm-hmm. Right. Unless it's a throw in type of player, right? Mm-hmm. It is prospects that are generally what those, whatever, for a blanket term, rebuilding teams, covet.
Sure. Kevin, you mentioned starting pitchers, and I'm going to throw a curveball at you here. What was the latest we've heard about Cole Hamels?
He had not. It's a little slower than we thought. You know, they don't want to push him too hard. I will say it's been a couple weeks since I checked. So, but he's still with the club, and he could have been out already if he was pitching and they hadn't called him up. But he had not gone in a game was the last that I.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. You talk about starting pitching. They're in Philadelphia. My mind went there. But here's the thing. I know that, I mean, he is too much of a risk, I think, to be counted on as somebody who can help their starting rotation. But what a cool second half story that would be if they were in it, and if Cole Hamels was coming up and, you know, was a long guy or back of the rotation guy. Crazy. Kevin, 2024 schedule came out this morning. Maybe news that matters more to you than any person alive. What do you think? This is your life now. You look at the 2024 schedule and you go, hey, this is where I'm going to be on these days. What are your early takeaways?
Well, obviously starting in Korea means a spring training that starts earlier. They're going to go over 10 days early to go to Korea. They're going to come back, land with 6 days before opening day. Evidently, there might be something going on at Petco Park, so they might play their two-game exhibition series against the Mariners in Peoria at the complex they share versus at Petco Park. Then they open at Petco Park. Where I think they got paid back, and I have not found out whether this was on purpose, the Padres have far more regular off days. They play one 18-game stretch, and it's late in the season. They don't go more than 13 games before that. They get like the first three Thursdays of the season besides opening day off. They get four of the five Thursdays in May off. Like if you recall recent seasons, it's been like 24 of 25, 18 games in 17 days. I mean, you know, when they packed it in last year, 21 in a row, like it's been really crazy. And so I don't know. That's going to be exhausting at the start for them. They play a lot of marquee teams in that first month. I mean, wow, what an incredible first month with the Phillies, Cardinals, Dodgers, Giants, and the Blue Jays, I think, are a marquee team. Maybe not a legacy team, but a marquee team at home to start. It's a little bit of a janky schedule, but they are now. You're playing everybody in the Major League Baseball. What has stood out to you?
Yeah, to me, it's that. To me, it's the Yankees visiting. I don't look at this necessarily like a beat guy does. I look at it in terms of what's going to be a spectacle. And to me, that's Korea and that's the Yankees. Yeah. And both of those things.
I try to look at it, too, that way, because it's not about me, except for when you're me, then it's about me. Right. So, yes, every beat writer looks at it and goes, OK, especially with post-pandemic airline schedules.
Oh, that's a great point. I hadn't even thought of that. Kevin, Yu Darvish is back. I'm looking at the pitching matchups here. Yeah. Somebody named Christopher Sanchez is pitching Friday. It's Snell versus Taiwan Walker early Saturday. And then what, TBA versus Ranger Suarez late Saturday. What do we anticipate Padres doing with that second? Is it a piggyback game, do we think, in the second game?
At this point, I think it is, you know, until that trade's announced. this is very interesting first game. Look, they're all interesting for the Padres now. Like, I quote Jake Cronenworth tomorrow in the story that I'll post later today if I finish it, if you finish it, because it's about 3,000 inches. No. Inches is a journalism term, by the way, folks. Jake Cronenworth says, got to play every game like it's a playoff game. My eyes got all big. He saw that's just where we're at, because playing every game like a playoff game for 72 games is, woo, that's a lot. So, hey, they somewhat did that last year. They were really stinky from the middle of June to the middle of September. They were three games under. It was almost 3 months exactly. They played three under during that time, and they had to finish strong. They got to do it a little longer this time and hope for a little help. But Darvish, so where's he at, right? After that flu game, losing the weight, you know, has he been eating a lot in the break? Where's he at? This Christopher Sanchez guy in four starts since being recalled in June, 2.14 ERA. Ranger Suarez handled them in the playoffs. That's another thing. What's cool about this series? Like, you know, when you cover or you watch, you're a fan of the Yankees, the Red Sox, teams that year after year have, you know, these epic playoff battles, right? Like they recall during the regular season, like what guys did against them in the playoffs. And that's how it becomes a thing. And like, you can remember, oh man, Bryce Harper, whoa. And, you know, now he won't be facing Robert Suarez, but, you know, Ranger Suarez, he did really good, obviously, mm-hmm. against the Padres in the NLCS. They face Zach Wheeler on Sunday. That's Lugo and Wheeler. Wheeler's having a little bit of a down year, but it's still Zach Wheeler. So I think this is a, you know, the Phillies, they're kind of a middling team in terms of statistics, but they are incredibly hot. I don't know if you remember this. For a while, it was, oh, the Padres and the Phillies and the Cardinals, they're the teams, and we expect them to do better, and, oh, they'll get better. Well, the only one of those that really has is the Phillies, who are 23-9 over their last 32 games. Okay, wow. So they're obviously hitting a lot better, pitching somewhat better during that time. Their bullpen's a little better than their starters, but like they have turned it around. So this is a good series to start with.
Who needed the All-Star break the most?
The bullpen, okay. The starters, and you know, I think Xander Bogaerts, who got that shot like 6 seconds after the final pitch, cortisone shot in his left wrist. I think Manny has been hurting in a lot of ways that we don't know about, just like regular kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that almost everybody needed it. But yeah, to the spirit of your question, I think the bullpen.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Kevin, we always go down some wormhole at the very end of our podcast here. This is a simple one. Double headers, your thoughts.
Okay, again, taking myself out of it, knowing that I'll be at the ballpark from 9 to 11 or so, and then come back and write the newsletter. Players don't like them, which is why there's not more of them. Teams are allowed to schedule one doubleheader a year.
Okay.
Or teams can play in one. So you couldn't, like, have your team schedule one, and then you're also on the road for one, I don't believe. But when's the last time there was a scheduled one outside of the lockout year?
Right. That's a great point.
And then the pandemic year where you played seven innings. But the Phillies, I haven't found anyone to tell me exactly why. There's people that think they know, like, was it going to be a wraparound and the Phillies would rather have weekend games? See, it's a day night. So they're charging for two games. So play the game, clear the ballpark, everybody rest, find a nap room, play the game. That's no skin off the Phillies back. They got an afternoon game or a night game. Mm-hmm. I think they're kind of neat. They get two games out in one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a lot of times it means you got a day off because mm-hmm. it was a rain out or something. But mm-hmm. This one is scheduled. It's been there. And it's a rough way to start for the Padres in the a quality opponent, four games in 3 days to start the second half.
Absolutely.
What do you think as a fan who, let's just say, you were inclined to sit in front of your TV for the better part of 5 hours over a 12-hour period?
I'm for it, but not all the time, man. Once a year is great. Once a year is great. As somebody who was in the stands at Jack Murphy Stadium during a doubleheader when Roseanne Barr sang the national anthem, Kevin, I've always been a big fan of doubleheaders. I've covered enough doubleheaders in my previous life to know that they suck to cover.
Do you know what was awesome? Seven inning doubleheaders. Now, not for, yes, if I put aside to the back of my brain that this messes everything up in terms of baseball and uniformity, and it's not cool. And, you know, someone's going to, you know, a close game, who knows what would have happened in those final two. And then the Madison Bumgarner no hitter and whatever, right? Put that aside. Boom, game over. Loved it.
Right.
Loved it.
Seven innings, play game two immediately after game one.
As a young reporter, I'm sure you did this. Come on. College softball doubleheader? Play that in like 47 minutes per game?
It's great. You're right. As a fan, I like it. I wouldn't want to cover it. And that is why you were doing it. And that's great. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Padres Phillies four game series starting 3:05 p.m. San Diego time on Friday. You've got a doubleheader at 10:05 and 4:05 on Saturday. And then Sunday they play at 10:35 in Philadelphia. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.